The whole thing that God spoke to my heart to emphasize is Acts 1:8, you've got the power. Now, are every one of us where we should be, or is that volume, or is that strength of power? We can turn up the volume. All of us, we can do that. But you got to start somewhere, and the good thing about it is you can start with this fact that you've got the power. Inside of you, if you're a born-again believer, and you've been, especially if you've been filled with the Spirit, we might as well just go the full distance on that. Whether you ever use it or not, you've got the power. I was in a barber shop, that's what they called them years ago, they're hair places now, and different. But there used to be a place up here on Sylvania Street, and this elderly gentleman came in, and he was all taken up. He said, something really happened to me out on the highway the other day, and barber said, well, what was it? He said, well, he said, I started to pass, and I was already committed out in the passing lane. I looked up, and here comes a car, truck, or something. And he said, I just almost panicked. He said, I just pushed that accelerator down as far as it could go. And he said, my car took off like a jet airplane. He said, what do you think that was? The barber says, it was your passing gear. That's been a few years. But cars used to have passing gears. And if you just really get in a tight, you could press it down. And, well, I guess we still all have that capability. Some of us do. But he said it was a passing gear. Well, you know, God's given you a passing gear. God's given you a possessing gear. He's given you a devil chasing gear. He's given you the ability to get out of a tight place when the pressure is on. So they had a good chuckle about that. The man discovered some. He said, I've had that car for years, and I didn't know I had. He said, man, that thing could run fast. And what it was, he had something that he had never used. He had already paid for it. It was part of the equipment of his car. And when he pressed that accelerator down, he had the power. He had the power, but he wasn't aware that he did have the power. And you know, I think that's so true of a lot of believers. So Acts 1:8 said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Hebrews 11th chapter, we said, but without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now you say, well, what about that? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God has dealt to every man, and there's no male nor female as far as those of us that are in Christ, but God has dealt to every man. Four times it's clearly written from Habakkuk and Galatians and Romans, and four times in the Word of God, the just shall live by faith. I like the way Habakkuk says it, the just shall live by his faith. I can't live by your faith, I have to live by my faith. The just shall live by his faith. And so even back in the Old Testament's talking about the marvelous power of faith. Now, the thing that I want to just amplify a little bit tonight and clarify a little bit more, who has the power? Every born-again believer, and you know, even a saved believer has power. You know, Jesus, before the day of Pentecost, said, behold, I've given unto you power over all the power of the enemy. But from the day of Pentecost on, this indwelling power comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Who needs this power? Children need this power. I mean, in the day in which we live, children need this power. Children are facing things probably in a stronger way than any previous generation. Teenagers need this power. You need this power. College and career, or whatever age bracket, young married couples, no matter how long you've lived on this earth. I remember a man that was in his upper 70s one time, and a young man said, I'll be glad when I get to be old like you are, that I won't have to use all this faith stuff. And boy, he looked serious, and he said, young man, let me tell you something. You'll need faith all your life. You will need the power of faith in your life all your life. You see, we live by faith. And someone told me four major ministries today were ministering along the same lines of the importance. In fact, we preached this morning on the necessity of Bible-based faith. I know people have labeled faith or word churches as just, well, I'm not even going to use some of the clichéisms they use, but it's more than real estate and it's more than automobiles or trucks. I mean, the power of faith is to successfully live for God every day. To successfully live for God every day. And, you know, sitting right here, you can say, oh, I'm going to have a bad week. Well, you probably will. Or you can say, I'm believing God for a good week. It's going to be busy. We have a lot of things on the schedule. It's going to be busy. We don't know what all the week holds. But because of the power that is in me, the power that is in me is up to this week. I can face this week. I can face tomorrow because of the power that is in me right now. You may know what's coming, or you may suspicion what's coming, or you don't have a clue what's coming, but whatever is coming down this week, you've got the power. I said, you've got the power because the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You see, so many people have this thing mixed up. They think it's some denomination or some weird whatever. Let me tell you, you say, well, the faith folks, every born-again believer should be a faith folk. And if that label offends you, you just don't know much about the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that's going to see us through. So when I think of faith, it takes faith to release this power that is in you. Let me make that basic statement right now. It takes faith. You've got the power, but it takes faith to release that power. It takes faith to be born again. You don't just trip in and believe John 3:16. That's why altar calls are serious. Some people think they can just come to God anytime they want to. Not so. No man can come to the Father except the Spirit of God draw him. And that desire in your heart to either come to the Father through Jesus or to draw closer to God, don't take that lightly. That prompting is by God Almighty and the Holy Spirit of God. I've talked to people about needing more of God, drawing closer, and you might as well just talk to a slab of concrete because nothing is moving. I remember a missionary's son years ago. I could call his name, but he's deceased, the boy's deceased. But I remember he would come to our church. It wasn't as large as the buildings that God's given us, but in my home church. And that man had literally lived, it's not the wicked lifestyle you live, but I mean, he had told the Holy Spirit, leave me alone. Don't bother me. I don't even like to get along those lines because everybody used to talk to thought they'd committed the unpardonable sin. And I think it can happen, but it's so hard to do that you don't even know how. So don't worry about that, you know. Just make sure that your heart is tender toward the things of God. Now, I hear some of these people criticizing ministers in the news media. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're saying. They don't know what they're doing when they talk about these fundamentalists or these wild-eyed Pentecostals and our flag waving. You better leave us alone. You better leave Israel alone. You better leave us alone. They don't realize what they're saying. No reverence. But I remember this man came in, and I don't even want to go any further with that, but he was one of the most pitiful young men I've ever. He had lived in sin, been in sin, and in fact, he'd done drugs at one time when no one hardly knew what drugs was. He did some heroin for a while, but he'd told the Holy Spirit, I don't want anything to do with you. Don't bother me anymore. And he said, I'd give anything if I could just feel that want to in my heart. I've said, well, I don't want to stay there because that's, I'm on the other side of the gospel. Praise God. I mean, that's stupid to let your life get in that situation. I mean, wherever you are tonight, you better keep your heart open to God. Keep a tender heart. Keep a tender spirit. Always be respectful. You may not understand what's happening to you or what's happening to someone else, but keep a tender heart. Keep an open heart. But you see, it takes the power of God to release it takes faith in God to release the power of God. It takes faith in God to be born again. You can read John 3:16, and it's just like anything you'd read in the Dallas Morning News or the Four Star Telegram, except the Spirit of God tenderizes your heart and puts that desire in your heart. It's by faith that we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know the stories are legion. One lady, she's a pretty good-sized lady, she said the way she got the Holy Spirit, she promised the Lord she'd give up chocolates, but she had started fudging again from the way things look. But she... that was a testimony. No, that's a real testimony. Not a real testimony, but that was her testimony. But what I'm saying, you don't get the Holy Spirit by giving up chocolates. Thank God. I believe chocolates were made by God for God's children. It takes faith to release the power of God in your life. I mean, I think of so many trips that I've taken. You know, some people think, boy, you wake up in the morning, put on your Superman cape and say, woo, we fly out the window and here we are. It takes faith to live a day. And sometimes it takes faith to live an hour. Sometimes it takes faith to live an hour. You know, many times, some of the most important assignments that God gave me, I thought, what am I going to do when I get there? I mean, you know, and you're getting ready to fly 10,000 miles. And I mean, that's serious stuff right there. Here, I mean, I'm not going to be sleeping in my bed. I'm going to be away from my family and be away from the church that I've been called to pastor. And what do you do? But, you know, it's so amazing when it's a God assignment, when you get there, the Holy Ghost shows up. And, of course, he was there all the time. I know the other night, I just knew I had a message to deliver to the graduating class down in Tampa, Florida, Brother Rodney Hart Brown's. I mean, I really thought that I had the direction of the Lord. Man, when I got there, it was just, and God says, this way, this way. And then when I heard some things after I got there, I realized, you say, well, why did you feel that way? I don't know. But thank God I was willing to change. And the moment I said, okay, I'll go God's way, you know, my natural inclination was to go another way. But when I said I go God's way, the peace of God just settled in and God anointed me in a very unique way the other night. See, obviously, it was what God wanted. Now, the thing that I want to just really emphasize to us tonight, you know, in the 24th chapter of Matthew, and I'm just going to allude to it, but I'm not getting into it. They came to Jesus and they said, what's going to be the sign of your coming and when and how is it all? When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? Well, it sounds to me like Jesus is a coming back. Huh? He's coming back. And Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, you could say that no woman deceive you. Now, young people, and I want everyone in this audience to listen to me very, very carefully tonight, because this is coming straight from a pastor's heart. How many times have I seen a precious young person, I mean the epitome of everything we teach and we preach, and they live for God and they've kept their life, and somebody come in who's going another direction but catches their attention. And before long, it may not be a sinful direction, but it's not a God direction. It could be a sinful direction. I've seen that it can be a two-pronged thing. And the next thing you notice, there's an attitude. And then you see an aloofness. And then you start missing them. And then you find out that somebody that this church has poured time and labor and prayer and Bible school and help and all the things that you do as a church, that they've gone another direction. And there's a harshness, there's a hardness, there's an unteachable spirit that slips in there. It matters not how pure you are. There's somebody that has a design from Satan to take your purity. You may be the poster child of the, that's a wild statement, but you could be the poster child of the kingdom of God, but Satan has somebody to get you off the track. And this can be a single, it can be a teenager, it can be, you know, just be careful that you stay planted where God has planted you. If God has another idea, praise the Lord. But if he doesn't, I've just seen people get off track. I've seen it time and time again. I'm missing three or four people right now that my heart, I mean, we've poured into those lives. And all of a sudden they just disappear. And the next thing you hear, they're off on some weird, or it may or may not be morals. It just may be somewhere that's non-productive. So anyway, whatever it's worth. You see, I didn't fall out of a tree yesterday. I've been pastor for 44 years. I have come through a few times and seasons. And I don't want you out of God's will, but either side of it. I don't want you out of God's will. I want you in the center of God's will. And God said, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. Don't be deceived by your own feelings and emotions. Your feelings and your emotions can flip you. And especially if you're lonely, I tell our singles, you can shop off lonely. Oh, you can take a cruise and take care of lonely. I mean, you can buy a better car and take care. But you see, Satan will come with feelings and emotions. By your friends. Don't be deceived by your friends. And I made a strong statement this morning. You know, I've had to get rid of some flaky friends over a period of time. What's a flaky friend? A friend that's not helping me in the word. A friend that's dragging on me. A friend that's pulling me back. Amen. But they're my best friend. That may be your best problem. Okay, moving on. Don't be deceived by your frustrations. We all get frustrated. We want to see things. I mean, there's many a minister that we sell out cheap because we want to see something. We all want to see more, but there's no shortcut. There's a price tag to everything in the kingdom of God. There's no shortcuts. And sometimes something happens, everybody stampedes here and they stampede there and they do whatever. But don't be deceived by your frustrations. Don't be deceived by your religious fantasies. We all have desires, but you see, Eve was deceived, but Adam chose. Well, the Lord said, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't let man deceive you. Now, let's go to the power side of this. You know, it's wonderful to know that through the power of God, you can hear from God. By faith, by faith, by faith in the power of God, you can hear from God. There's the power to hear from God. We have the power. By faith, we have the power to obey God. You know, it's not always easy to obey what you know you need to do. There's times I've known what I had to do, but I knew the price tag that was connected with it. There's more than one time we put this whole ministry, I mean, we've laid it on the line. But when God says do it, it always comes through. Amen. To obey God. And all of these are scriptural words. By faith, we have the power to start doing what God told us to do. Billy Graham was a young man. Oral Roberts was, I mean, relatively young man. And Kenneth E. Hagin was a young man. When all of them, when God touched their lives, power to start. There's power to continue. It's not just starting. You know, not every service is, I wished every service could be just hanging from the, well, I don't really, but I just love every service to be hanging from the chandelier night, you know. Woohoo, you know. But we need to sit and soak and learn and absorb. And sometimes we're growing more when we think we're not growing than when we feel like we really are growing. That's a truth. So we have that power to continue. That power to continue. There's days it takes every ounce of faith to release that power. I'm going to continue on. Amen. I have friends that have quit everything they ever put their hand to. Well, we don't run together anymore because I don't like that influence. Every time you see them, it's the greatest thing they've ever done. Next time you see them, what? You see them one year in a convention, they're going to build three tabernacles. Ask them next year, how are the three tabernacles coming? What three tabernacles? Amen. Power to continue. Power to finish. Paul was a strong finisher. God wants us to be a strong finisher. It's not just starting. It's not just mid-journey. But it's power to finish. I remember a story, I forget which book it came out of years ago, but over in the Swiss Alps, there was a path where you could climb up. I mean, it's not just, you know, jagged rocks, but I mean, there's a path, steep, and it you have to be in fairly good condition to do it. And there's a halfway house, halfway up the mountain. And someone in that halfway house visiting one day told the man that was in charge of the halfway house, they'd have coffee and chocolate and whatever. They said, "Boy, this must be the greatest thing in the world." He said, "Well, yes and no." He said, "There's two kinds of folks that come through the halfway house. Those that got here, but they can't wait to get to the top. And those that get here and say, I'm going to stay here. And I'm going to watch my friends go to the top." And he said, "There's an observation window, big observation window." And he said, "At first they're laughing and they're drinking their hot chocolate and they're just having a great old party time. And then all of a sudden it dawns on them, our friends are almost to the top." And then they become kind of hard to get along with. And they, you see what happened? They saw their friends go to the top, but they quit too soon. Oh, let's purpose in our heart tonight. We're not going to the halfway house. We're not of those that draw back. We're of those that press in and go all the way to what God has called us to do, to stay where God called you. Someone said, "How will you stay somewhere 44 years? Well, I have a simple explanation. God hasn't said to go or to do anything else, but I fear more than my frustration of any given moment, year, day, or month, I fear being out of God's will, because to me, success is being where God put you. Amen. I've known people thought you could just run anywhere and do something. No, not unless God said to do that. To stay where God called you. To stay pure. I touched on that a while ago. Let me tell you something. I remember, I'm going to quote Ed Cole. We did three or four men's conferences. I mean, we did two in the Honolulu area and then one or two other places. Great man of God. I appreciate and love that precious man. He touched a lot of people's lives. But he was talking to some men and he said, "Well, you guys," he said, "for 5 minutes of pleasure, you'll throw your faith away." And this big guy in the back of the room just guffawed. Ed Cole looked as only Ed Cole could look. He said, "Okay, bud, I'll give you 15 minutes, but it'll still send your soul to hell." Boy, you talk about quiet. I mean, everything got real quiet. Because when Dr. Ed Cole spoke, you listened to what he had to say. I think most of you picked up on what I just got through saying. You know, you think, well, 5 minutes, no making difference. No matter if it's 15 minutes or 20 minutes, Satan's out to ruin your life. And the promises are all alike. Hath God said, eat of this apple and you'll be a different person. Yeah, you will be. You will be. Oh, stay with what God's called you to do. Power to stay pure. Power to stay ethical. You know, there's ethics in the kingdom of God. Doing right. Did you ever see someone when you're getting ready to park, roar up behind you, and just cut, and just turn in sideways where there's no way you can park? I've never seen the worst happen, but I've seen people get out of cars and it's just a, you know. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You're there. I mean, that hasn't happened to me in years, but I mean, you're there. You're getting ready to park and you found you a nice juicy little parking spot and somebody roars right in. It's like cutting you off on a freeway. And you can just see the glares. I was out at the airport the other day. I've never seen a scene like this. But when all those planes were shut down, when they were having the breaks, you know, whatever the controversy was. And, boy, there were two groups from Brazil or somewhere. And they'd been in that airport for about 5 hours. And they didn't know where their luggage was. And they weren't real happy with life. And some guy cut the line in front of them. And I mean, they had to call security. No one hit anybody, but I've never seen it come that close. And finally, the guy cut the line. I mean, they were going back and forth. He said, "I've got more degrees than you do." I've never heard that one before either. Like, you dummy. I've got more degrees than you. It's a pretty terse moment. And I had to quietly say, "I need to get on that next plane because I've got to go preach." The lady said, "I'll get you on." So she, whew, boy, when I got out of that scene, I was just glad I was away. I mean, that was a very tense airport and people were not happy there. Amen. But you see, there's a power to stay ethical. You know, there's people in ministry that are not ethical. People in the ministry that don't always tell the truth. People in ministry that take advantage of other people. And you know, at the end of the day, we'll face these things. It pays to do the right thing. It's never right to do wrong. It's never wrong to do right. To stay ethical. To honor, you know, even this, to honor your elders. It's important to honor those who have been faithful. You say, well, you're tooting your own horn, whatever you want to call it. But it's important that we honor those that God has sent to watch over our lives. Amen. We have the power to forgive. Unforgiveness has probably put more believers out of the race. Spirits of offense and unforgiveness. You know, no matter how bad you've been treated, so what? Put it under the blood. And I've had things that I just had to say, God knows how many times I say, by faith, as a faith act of my will, I forgive. My flesh didn't want to do it. My mind didn't want to do it. My spirit knew what I had to do. I mean, it hurt. I was hurting. But don't get even, get ahead. Just forgive them even though they don't deserve it. Just do what God said to do, because Mark 11, 20, you know, 25, 26, it simply says if we don't forgive, we're in trouble with God. Now, I can't afford to do that. We have the power to forgive. And I think I heard some lights going on right then. You don't always feel like forgiving. It's not your first choice. It's not what you want to do. But if you'll do it by faith, Father's a faith act of my will, I forgive. Praise God. There's the faith to heal the sick. There's power. And I'm using almost faith and power as almost synonymously, but I need to. You understand what I'm saying? You release your faith and you release that power to heal the sick, to cast out devils. Oh, you have the power. You have the power. To have patience. It's through patience and faith that we win. Amen. You have the power to live by faith. We do. You have the power to do and to finish what God's called you to do. You can do that and you can finish that. And by faith, you have the power to do what God's called you to do. You know, someone said, well, I know God's called me to do this, but. No. You just got your timing messed up. Either God didn't call you or it's not the right timing. I remember a hippie came into our meeting on Bear Street, and he said, hey, man, I got to tell you, man, what's going on in my life, man. I said, well, okay. And he said, let me tell you what's happening in life. It's like I'm under the water and there's this big octopus and he's on top of me. And he won't let me go to do the will of God. He had that octopus on him. That octopus was holding him down. Well, you may feel like there's an octopus holding you down tonight. But nothing can hold you back or nothing can hold you down. God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. You know, I'll make a strong statement. We would not be on this property and the school would not be next door. I mean, there was one time I knew God had let me down. I knew that was one time either I had missed it worse than I had ever missed it in my life, or God had just taken a hike and had an unlisted phone number. I mean, it just seemed like there was nothing going. There was nothing happening, nothing. And we desperately needed that property. We needed the approval on it, and I went through a congressman, it's just like you're just coming up against a concrete door. But if that had happened, we would not be here right now. We would not be here right now because there are a series of technicalities in those properties. The fact that we waited for 13 years with no remuneration except the parking lot and someone else paying the taxes on that lower property, but at the proper time, it came back into our hands through a most unusual, you know, you've heard me tell the story, so I'm not going through it. At the proper time, it came back. You don't know the frustration when you feel like $2-3 million has slipped through your hands and you've let people down that have trusted you and people that have put their trust and confidence in you. You think, Where in the world, where did I miss it with my faith? Let me tell you something. It's not always a faith failure. It's a timing. The time is not yet. Just like I was talking about Hannah. You see, if Hannah had already had Samuel, he'd have been like every other kid. If Hannah had had Samuel when the other wife was having those children, it would have been just like every other kid. You don't ever hear about the other woman's children. I don't hear of it. I'll stand correction if I'm wrong. You never hear about that other woman's children. But you, how many have heard about Samuel? Anybody ever heard of Samuel? In fact, God named two books after him, 1 and 2 Samuel. Because a woman in God's timing had the child in God's timing, there's 1 and 2 Samuel. And Samuel was a man that never had a black spot on his administration. Had a couple of unwise children, if I remember the record correctly. But I mean Samuel himself. Samuel always did the will of God. Samuel was dependable. His word was accurate. He was sent on a mission. And in spite of the Eli's and the craziness that was going on in that day and time, Samuel still stands out as a beacon of integrity and of character before God. Oh, let me tell you, in this room tonight, praise God. You know, that helped me. Oh, I couldn't tell you how that helped me. Because there's times you just say, man, I failed. Did my faith fail? What's the deal? I gave, I believed. You know, God's timing is perfect. Wherever I am tonight, I would not be where I am if I'd gone by my timing and my time clock. How many times did I think, I had friends in the ministry. Bob, the way you're going, you'll never go anywhere in the ministry. But I'm going to tell you, I'd rather not go anywhere as far as some people think and be in the will of God. The will of God's not always in the thousands. It's being faithful where God's called you. I said that goes over like a lead balloon, but I'm telling you, it's being faithful where God's called you. Amen. Bloom where you planted. Oh, you can accomplish what God's called you to accomplish. We're saved by faith. We're filled by faith. We're kept by faith. We're healed by faith. Some of you have some hurtful memories. You know, you take an audience of people. This is Mother's Day, and a lot of people have been busy all day, so there's some folks that might be here that are not here tonight. But I'm telling you, we all have something we've had to deal with. And some of you have several somethings you've had to deal with. I don't really know how some of you have done as well as you have. What little I know about your life, there's people in this church, I don't know how they've done as well as they've done with the things that they had against them. And it just makes me have a deep-seated love in my heart that no matter where you come from or whatever, God can bring you through. I don't know how some of you have done as well as you've done. But you know, you're still on two feet and you're still serving God and you're still in the house of God. Hallelujah. And I salute you in the name of the Lord. You see, it's going to be interesting when we get to heaven. There's going to be some folks we just knew going to be at the front of the line, get the big trophies, get all of that. And somebody's going to say, back of the line, please. And God's going to call someone that was very, very, very faithful. And we're going to see some interesting things when we get there. We're saved by faith. We're filled by faith. We're kept by faith. We're healed by faith. By faith, miracles happen. By faith, finances come. Hallelujah. I think I'm going to have a miracle to share with you by next Sunday. We've stuck our neck out. We stuck our neck out on that nursery. We didn't have the money to do that, all that we did in the nursery. And then it cost twice as much as we, by close projections, because we didn't know we were going to get into some building codes and some other things, cost us twice as much. But thank God, as of last Sunday, that project is paid for. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Amen. And then revival now. We really didn't have a chance to raise any money in advance for that. And boy, you know, you think, what in the world are we doing here? We have all kinds of needs here. But isn't it something? I not only travel out, and many of you travel out, but you see, God brings people in here 10,000 miles just to sit in the house and to tell us. We've had several testimonies already that our life or our ministry, I mean, I guarantee you there were no less than half a dozen ministers there that you would have never known who have said, I'm going, but I'm going home and throw in the towel. You say, why should that be? Because look at the pressures you face. You don't have any idea what a staff or a minister, not all the time, not every time, but we face disappointments also. Some of us told me how disappointed they were in believers. I said, don't you think I have feelings? Don't you think I get disappointed? It's all about your disappointment. It's all about your wrong perception or whatever you thought. I said, I'm a human being. I bleed, I hurt, I cry too. And my feelings are just as important as your feelings. I don't usually make a statement like that, but it needed to be made. I can't help everything that happens. But you know, we need to love one another and help one another and appreciate one another and celebrate one another. I said, we need to celebrate one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to say, just as it was the word of God was in Isaiah, where the goldsmith said to the carpenter and all of them, they said, be of good courage, brother. We're going to finish this project. You don't know what someone's going through. You don't know the ache in someone's heart. You don't know the frustration someone's going through. You don't know the financial pressures or the domestic pressures. We don't always know those things. But aren't you glad we're part of the family of God? I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. Hallelujah. I'm not perfect and you're not perfect, but guess who is perfect? His name is Jesus. And he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. And when I don't know, when you don't know, he does know. And he's never failed. He's never made a mistake. He's never told a lie. If God told one lie, if God told one gray zone lie, he'd explode and that'd be the last of that. He is faithful and true. Faithful and true. I said he is faithful and true. Hallelujah. And his timing may not be perfect. It's usually not perfect as we see it. But I look back over 44 years and I can say he's never failed me yet. I like what Lester Roloff said one time. He said, I don't like that yet business. He said he hasn't failed, period. Never failed me yet. He's with Jesus now. But I just want to encourage everyone in this room. Every one of you have a destiny. Every one of you have something to do that no one can do it just like you could do it. Every one of you have a calling. You have a gift. Amen. And it's like a rope. It's like a rope. The Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord. I checked out that weight. You know what that weight is? Did you ever see a big giant ship at dock? I mean, they're monsters when you get up close to them. You know, big cruise line or a big ship, and I've been close to a few. And you see that giant ship, I mean, just almost still right there above the dock. And if you look, there's a rope. There's a rope that's holding that ship. Now, I've got a word for you. You see, they that wait upon the Lord, one strand would not hold that ship. Two or three strands of rope would not hold that ship. But you know what? They that wait upon the Lord, it's like interwoven strands. And all of a sudden you've got a rope about that big or whatever size it would be, and that rope can hold a giant ship. Are you listening to me? My little thread could snap. Your little thread could snap. Our little threads could snap. But when you interweave all of us and we stand faith to faith and heart to heart, you look around, you got a big old rope that's holding a big old ship. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. So be of good courage tonight. You've got the power. Be of good courage. You have the faith to release that power. And all of us together can get the job done. All of us together can get the job done. Years ago, they came out with full service banking, they called it. And what it was all about, you used to just think of a place where you'd put your money or put your savings and maybe some other kind of whatever, and that was what it was all about. But then about the time we started our church, if I remember correctly, around 1964, they had what they call full service. And that means when you come into the bank, one stop does all. And they expanded their services. And today they've expanded their services. I don't even know what all banks can do. But you know, when I heard that, something exploded in my spirit. I said, that's what a church should be all about, a full service church. And so, well, we want our church to be little bitty. And some people just freaked out when we moved downtown. But I said, you know, we can stay small. Of course, we had already crossed the line at that point. I said, we can stay small, but you see, we can't get the people. At that time, we couldn't get the people in the chapel. So your uncle, your cousin, your aunt, your family comes next Sunday, they can't even get in here to get saved. So we're going to a bigger warehouse to do more business for God. It's not fancy. It's more room. You see, that's what it's all about, is more room. It's more room. And so that's what we've got to think. We've got to think big. We've got to see the bigger scene. You say, well, the house is not packed tonight. I can see that. But you know, thank God we have room to grow. And you know what? Even we were down there in Tampa, and this week they're doing what we did here, you know, the outreach. And Brother Rodney said, if it won't work at home, he said, I'll give it up all over the, you know, he was fired up about it. But I just thought, it's amazing how we did what couldn't be done. We reached people that couldn't be reached. We knew that we wouldn't bring them all in. You're not going to bring everybody in from Uganda or wherever, Romania, or wherever our mission. But we do missions all the time. And you're not going to bring all of them in, but praise God, witness win and bring them in. Witness win and bring them in. You know, all it takes is us going out licking that ice cream cone, and everybody want to go to Baskin Robbins. Best advertisement, you just put somebody out on the pavement, give them a triple decker ice cream, just let them lick that ice cream. And before long, everybody comes in and everybody wants some more of that. They want some of that ice cream. Oh, God said, go into the highways and the hedges and let them see Jesus in you so big they can't resist him. They can't resist him. And you know, we don't have to wait for that kind of a crusade. You know, young people, we got a summer before us and we can do some of that. Amen. We can do some of that. We can literally, I know you witness, but we can go into the highways and the hedges. Well, my message tonight is a continuation of we've got the power. I said, we've got the power. You have the power to overcome your temptations. You have the power to rise above your flesh. You have the power to rise above discouragement, despondency, depression. You have the power. The power is in you to do what God's called you to do. You have the power in you. No matter what has happened around you, no matter who has let you down, no matter who has done whatever, I want to hear it back. What? You've got the power. Oh, hallelujah. I said, you've got the power. Power over disaster, power over distrust, power over discouragement, power over deceptions, power over all the power of the enemy. You've got the power.